I'd like to read in the book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 22. Just a few verses in this chapter. And then I'd like to look in 2 Samuel. So 1 Samuel 22. David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And every one that was in distress, and every one that was in debt, and every one that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them. And there were with him about 400 men. 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 23. And we'll read from verse 8. 2 Samuel 23, verse 8. These be the names of the mighty men whom David had. The Tachmonite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains. The same was Adino the Esnite. He lifted up his spear against 800, whom he slew at one time. And after him was Eleazar the son of Dodo the Ahohite, one of the three mighty men with David when they defied the Philistine that were there gathered together to battle. The men of Israel were gone away. He arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand clave unto the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. After him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Hararite, and the Philistines were gathered together into a troop where was a piece of ground full of lentils, and the people fled from the Philistines. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it, and slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory. And these three of the 30 chiefs went down and came to David in harvest time, unto the cave of Adullam, and the troop of the Philistines pitched in the valley of Rephaim. And David was then in an hold. The garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David longed and said, Oh, that one would give me of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. And the three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines, and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem, that it was by the gate, and took it, and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord. And he said, Be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives? Therefore he would not drink it. These things did these three mighty men. And Abishai, the brother of Joab, the son of Zeruiah, was chief among three. He lifted up his spear against 300 and slew them, and had the name among three. Was he not most honorable of three? Therefore he was their captain. Howbeit he attained not unto the first three. And Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man of Kabzeel, who had done many acts, he slew two lion-like men of Moab. He went down also and slew a lion in the midst of a pit in time of snow. And he slew an Egyptian, a goodly man. The Egyptian had a spear in his hand, but he went down to him with a staff, plucked a spear out of the Egyptian's hand, and slew him with his own spear. These things did Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and had a name among three mighty men. He was more honorable than the 30, but he attained not unto the first three. And David set him over his guard. And Asahel, the brother of Joab, was one of the 30. And we could continue on reading, and we would read a list of men who were great and mighty for God and for David. Now, we believe that the Lord will bless this portion that we have read. And what is upon my mind, upon my heart at this time, is really the judgment seat of Christ. For what we have in this list of these men are is illustrated for us some of the things that will be rewarded and noted by Christ at the judgment seat of Christ. You know, in Matthew chapter 25, the Lord was illustrating the idea of the kingdom, that future kingdom when he shall reign. And he said words like this: "The Lord said unto one of his servants, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee administrator over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." And what the Lord was doing, he was giving us a picture of that day when the Lord will reward his people. We sometimes call this day of reward the judgment seat of Christ. But in our day in which we live today, that idea of judgment has lost its original meaning. And so that we might think of this in a better sense as the Bema of Christ. Now, what is the Bema? Well, I'm sure that all of you have seen, either in photographs or on television, the day when the Olympic Games is held and those who have been successful in the event, and they come and they stand upon that three-tiered podium. That three-tiered podium in Greek is a Bema. They receive from the judge a reward for their service that they have done in the Olympic Games. That's the idea that we have here in the judgment seat of Christ in our New Testament. The Lord, and our brother last week in speaking about the coming of the Lord, he read from Revelation chapter 22 and verse 12. And that verse says, "Behold, I come quickly." It's the Lord speaking. "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be." And so the judgment seat of Christ is a time of reward. That if we were to go to the New Testament, we would have read the doctrine concerning the judgment seat of Christ. When we went to Romans chapter 14, we would read, "We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." 2 Corinthians chapter 5 emphasizes that again. We shall all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, I believe that the Spirit of God has recorded for us in these verses, illustrating the things that God is going to look for, the things that the Lord will commend at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, as we go through our Bibles, we find a number of different chapters that emphasize the judgment seat of Christ. If we were to go to Nehemiah chapter 3, we would have illustrated for us the commendations of those who work together in fellowship to establish a testimony for God. And God and the Spirit of God marks them out what they did and commends them for it. In Romans 16, we have another list. And as we read through that list, we would find that those people are being commended because they labored together in the spread of the gospel. When we come to Hebrews chapter 11, we would find that there, very simply, God has listed for them, for us, those who demonstrated their faith in Christ by their obedience to the word that they have received. And so I would like to take this and to show you some of the things about the judgment seat of Christ. Now, I'd like to emphasize and make it clear in your mind that the judgment seat of Christ does not have anything to do with your entrance into heaven. Now I would like to make that plain because I was talking to a believer, doesn't go to an assembly, but a believer who thought that that the judgment seat of Christ, they would have to face that before they entered into heaven. That's not true. Your entrance into heaven depends on the sacrifice of Christ at Calvary. And because of that sacrifice, you will have an entrance into heaven. And that entrance into heaven was assured to you by the resurrection of Christ from the dead. And the very fact that he rose from the dead is an assurance to you that you will have that entrance into heaven. But we have these men, and they have done certain things. And the Spirit of God has noted these things. And I'd like to just pick out a few of the highlights, because there's probably much, much more that you could look at. The first is that man, Adino. And the first thing we read about that man, Adino, is that he was a captain. Now, when we look at that, he says he was a captain. He was like David. You see, David was called by God to be a captain. And here is Adino. He's a captain. I think of this as like David. If we were to put it into our terms, it is like Christ. Christ-likeness. Are you more like Christ today than you were the day that you trusted him as your Savior? That's an important thing. Because if we were to read through our Bible, we would find that God only called four individuals to be captains over his people. Four. Not very many. And you see, Adino, he was a man who looked at David and loved David, followed David, and wanted to be like him. And as you go down, you would come down this chapter and you come to another man, Abishai. And Abishai was a man, he's a captain over David's mighty men. And it speaks to us of the fact, Christ-likeness. These were men who wanted to be like David. And then we find that here as well that this man, Adino, he lifted up his spear when all the people had departed from him. The people had fled from the enemy. And there he was alone. And he was prepared to stand for the things of God. He was prepared to defend what God had said. You see, because Adino was defending the land of promise, the land that God, the things that God had given by promise, and he was prepared to stand by it. And he wrought a great victory. And it says he lifted up his spear and he fought. And he won a victory. And so we find in this man, that first of all, he was Christ-like. Then he was courageous and faithful to defend what God had given them. Then we look at this man, Eliezer. And you see this man, Eliezer, and the first thing we read about him is that Israel had fled. They ran in terror of the Philistines. Now, who are the Philistines? Well, the Philistines, wherever you see them in the Word of God, they speak of a people who claim to be God's people. They claim the land that God had given to his people. They had that claim, but they had no reality. And we would think of this as much of the religious world today. No reality behind them. Yet they would claim to be Christians. And he stood And he stayed and he defended the grounds upon which he was standing. And you see the fact that he lifted up his spear when everybody else had fled. Now this tells us something else. That not only does God see what was done, but God sees the conditions under which it was done. And that brings a commendation from the Lord. The conditions. Nobody else was there. And when we read down on this man, Shammah, we would read that that under both of these men, the Lord wrought a great victory. The Lord wrought a great victory. And this tells me the fact that in their heart, they gave all the glory to God. Now it's easy for us to stand up amongst before a multitude and to give God glory and praise and it not come from our heart. And these two men were great, mighty men because in their heart, before the people came back, they had given God the glory. Peter, in writing his epistles, he says, sanctify the Lord God in your heart and be ready to give to every man an answer that asketh you. These men had sanctified God in their heart and they were ready. When the enemy came, they were ready. What did this mean? Well, to me, it speaks of the fact that these men, that all the time they were fighting for David, all the time they were with David, they were doing that work for the Lord. David was their master on earth, but God was their master. Everything they did was for the Lord. And then we read of these three men. We read of Adino. And we read of Eliezer. And we read of Shammah. And these three men. And they're nearby to David. You see, these mighty men were close to David. They were in close fellowship and communion with him. And they listened as David was speaking to himself. David spoke probably very quietly, in a whisper, and he's speaking to himself. And he says, that I could have a drink from the well that is beside Bethlehem. And these three men, they heard what he said as he talked to himself. And they went in jeopardy of their life, and they brought him water from that well. They gave it to David. Because what was motivating their actions, motivated their actions was a love for their master, a love for their king. And you see that on that day of judgment, God will look upon us and will look upon the motive. Why have you done this? Why have you done that? Have you done it out of love for the Lord? Or have you done it for your own glory? You see, I mention that for your own glory because there was one of the men that were close to David by the name of Joab. And he's mentioned down in here as one of his brothers. It says down in here, Asahel, the brother of Joab. Joab was a mighty warrior. Joab was one that many, many men feared. But everything he did was for himself. And he's not listed amongst these mighty men of David. His motive was not love for David. It's a love for himself and for what he could do. And these men had a love for David, and God noted it And it is recorded in our words here. But also, we see that the sacrifice that they were prepared to make. And you see, the Lord in that day is going to note the motive of your heart, the sacrifice you have made for Him. Sacrifices that perhaps no one else has known. Perhaps you've made a sacrifice and you've come to a meeting, and it's cost you things. Or perhaps there's been a time when you could have received a great promotion in work, and you turned it down because it would have required you giving up coming to the meetings of the assembly. The Lord notes that a sacrifice was made, and it is precious in His eyes. But then we mention there's a man by the name of Abishai. Abishai was David's nephew. It's not noted in here. It says Abishai, the son of Zeruiah. Could have said Abishai, the nephew of David. But no, he takes no special note of his family relationship. And it says in here he was chief amongst three. And that tells me that he was an example to others. Are we an example to others? The Apostle Paul said, "Be ye followers of me, even as I am of Christ." Paul said, "Follow me. Let me be your example." Abishai was an example to others. Paul in Philippians chapter 3 says, "Follow those which are spiritual." And then he says to Timothy in 1 Timothy, he says, "Be an example." And Abishai was an example. And then I read that he had a name. He had a name amongst the people of God. And that speaks of his reputation. See, God's going to take note of the reputation you have amongst God's people. You know, sometimes we hear people saying, "I don't care what other people think of me. I'll just do it my way. I don't care what they think." No. The Word of God points out that this man, Abishai, had a name, had a reputation amongst the people of God. The next man, Benaiah, he had a name amongst the people of God. He had a reputation amongst God's people, a reputation for loyalty and faithfulness. And this man, Benaiah, when he was an old man, and David had passed away, and there's Benaiah, he's perhaps one of the last of the mighty men still living. And Solomon has come to the throne. And Solomon needs some help. And who does he turn to? He turns to Benaiah. "Will you help me?" And Benaiah fastens on his sword, says, "Tell me what you want me to do. I'll do it." And Benaiah goes out and serves Solomon. Perhaps as an old man, I would think well into his 80s. And there he was, prepared to do what this young king needed to have done. He had a name amongst the people of God that he was loyal to David. But then we read about both of these men, more honorable. They were honorable men. And what does that speak about? It speaks not only about their reputation, but in private. It speaks of their godly character. These men were godly men. They loved the Lord. And they served David. They had not only a reputation, but a character that was godly. We read of this man Abishai. And I've mentioned before, he was a captain. He was like David. He was what we would call today Christ-like in his character. And you look at this man, and you look at the history of this man, Abishai, and I was greatly impressed about this man, Because his life shows us a life of devotion to David. In 1 Samuel 22, Abishai goes down to David. And David becomes his captain. And Abishai desires to emulate David. And he begins that emulation. There came that day in his life when he made that choice. I will follow David. Then when we come to this one, we find that he slew 300 of the enemy. You see, when we read of Adino and Eliezer and Shammah, it says they slew all those people in one time, but not for Abishai. He slew 300 in his life. And I think of the fact that 300 different times he faced a challenge of his loyalty. He faced a challenge of his faithfulness, and he came forth and he won the victory. We may not have great exploits like Adino and like Eliezer, like Shammah, but we could face 300 challenges in our lifetime. Challenges when our faithfulness, our loyalty to Christ will be tried. And he went forth and he was faithful unto his Lord. Then if we were to read in 1 Samuel chapter 26, we would find that David wants to go down and spy out the Philistines. And he says, who will go with me? And Abishai immediately says, I'll go. He was standing by David, ready to hear what David said. And he willingly goes with David, for he was never far from David. Then came down toward the Philistines. Why? They came upon the camp of Saul. And there's Saul sleeping. And Abishai says to David, David, here's your chance. Give me the word and I'll slay him. And I see it speaks of this character of this man. He would not do anything without a word from David. Without David's permission, he would not lift his hand up against a man who has sworn to be David's enemy. And then in 2 Samuel chapter 21, David and his mighty men and the armies of Israel have gone out into battle against the Philistines. And what happens? David waxes faint. I believe that David suffered a heart attack on the battlefield. And one of those Philistine, great warriors of the Philistines came upon David and was ready to slay him. And what does Abishai do? He runs to David's side, slays that warrior, and takes David from the battlefield. And he says to David, no more will you go on to the battlefield. I'll go in your place. And David, he would no longer would allow David to go to the battlefield. He went into the battle with one eye upon David and one eye to the battle. And he was prepared. And the Lord took note of that. And then when we find that in this chapter that he is a captain, he's like David. And he's a servant to his master. And I just take a few minutes. I know I've gone by and just mention Benaiah. Benaiah has faced great challenges. It says in him that he slew two lion-like men, which speaks of the flesh. He won victory over the flesh. Then he slew a lion. He won victory over the onslaughts, the wiles of the devil. Then he slew an Egyptian. He came the victory over the things of the world. And then we read that in the time of snow. And should impress us again that God is emphasizing the fact that the conditions under which he served were as important as what he has done. And the conditions under which you have served Christ, the Lord will note. I've already mentioned the fact that he was had a name, he had a reputation amongst God's people, and he was an honorable man, he had a godly character. But we read the next thing. David set him over his guard. What is that telling us? Well, it's telling us that God's taken note of those who become overseers. He's taking note of overseers because Benaiah was an overseer. Adino was an overseer. Abishai were overseers amongst David's mighty men. And God has taken note of what they have done and of their faithfulness and how they have served him. And then I read of this man, Asahel. And if we had gone down through this list, we would have come to another man, Uriah. Two men who gave their life in service for David. And God takes note of those who have given their life in service for him. Now these men, they didn't go out, they didn't begin in the morning and think, I'm going to do great exploits today. They didn't do that. And as they went out and as they sought to serve faithfully David in their life, there came challenges along their way. And in these, as they faced those individual challenges, they faced them with faithfulness and with loyalty to David. And we have the same opportunity today that as you begin each day, you begin with faithfulness and you're going to serve the Lord faithfully day by day. I was thinking of the disciples. And the Lord says to the disciples, follow me. A simple thing. Follow me. And then the Lord says to them later on, and he calls them to be with him, that they might be with him. And that's what the Lord is asking us to do today, to follow him and to be with him. That idea of following is learning of Christ. That idea of being with him is communing with him. That in our day-by-day life, that we are seeking to learn more of Christ and seeking to express to him in our hearts our appreciation for him. The challenges will come, but if we are following him and we are in communion with him, we will meet those challenges as successfully as these men in 2 Samuel 23. Many of you today have already faced great challenges. And you have been faithful to the Lord. The Lord has taken note of it. But we can't stop. We must keep on going. Our time is gone. We might speak to the Lord in prayer. We believe that he will bless these thoughts. Our God and loving Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy blessings to us. We thank thee, Father, that thou art a God who knows all about us and knows the silent challenges that we face, knows our heart's desires. And Father, we thank thee that we can rest upon thee in seeking to walk in obedience to thy word. We pray that thou would guide us the days before us. Our Savior's precious name. Amen.